I want us to look at a passage of Scripture where we're going to think tonight about another song. And if you have a Bible, please turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, I think we might have this on the overhead for you to see. I'm going to read about a song that is being sung, even as we're singing our songs. This song is being sung in heaven above. And as best we can tell, it's a song that they sing over and over and over again, because it is the theme song of heaven, and it's all about our Savior. Let's look in Revelation chapter 5, beginning of verse 8 through the end of the chapter. The Bible says in Revelation 5 and verse 8, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for bringing us together for this evening of worship. Thank you again for the blessings of this season. Thank you for this Christmas Eve and tomorrow being Christmas Day, and what it means to us who are believers, Lord, to know that our Lord and Savior came as you intended, born of a virgin, unlike any other arrival in this world. He came because of who he is to do what he alone could do. And tonight we want to bow before you and thank you, Lord, for sending him. And Jesus, we praise you for being willing to come. And Holy Spirit, we praise you for showing us the truth about him and why we need him and what he did for us, and opening our heart to the truth, to the gospel, so that we might be saved. And so we praise you, dear God, tonight for the gift of salvation through your Son. We thank you for this song that we can now look at from the Scripture. Just as we have heard the words of these other songs, we want to now look into some of the words, some of the thoughts of this song, and realize that it's about Christ and the reason that he came and who he is, the Redeemer, the one and only. Help us to understand better what that means, so that as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, our hearts will be primed and ready, softened and humbled, grateful and full of praise as we approach that time. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The Christmas songs, and this is not really what you would call a Christmas song, but it is in a sense a Christmas song, because we celebrate Christmas for his coming. And I want us to realize tonight that as Christ lay there in the manger, and all through his life, really, there was the shadow of the cross that fell upon that manger. the shadow of the cross upon his earthly life as he grew up, and then as he began his earthly ministry, because that's where he headed. That's why he came. That was the ultimate reason for his coming, as you well know. And so in heaven, they are singing this song, and we know something of what they're singing. We have the words here. And what a scene it truly is. God has given us a preview before we get there of what's going on now and what will be a part of our lives. We'll be a part of that celebration and that worship when we get there. I want us to think about heaven's song of redemption tonight. Heaven's song of redemption. And that word redemption is such a rich Bible word. And we do ourselves a disservice if we pass over these words. We rob ourselves of great blessing if we do not know something, at least, of the richness of the meaning of these Bible words. We have songs that we sing, and you're familiar, and maybe some of them have come to your mind. Just the reading of verse 9, for example, where it speaks of him redeeming us to God by his blood. And we think of those songs like redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I want us to understand what that means when it says that he redeemed us and what it means when we say he is our redeemer. It's a theme found all through the scriptures. The Old Testament tells us time and again a redeemer is coming. The New Testament tells us plainly the redeemer has come. In the Old Testament, we have the promise of a coming redeemer. And then in the New Testament, we're introduced to the person who is, in fact, the one who will redeem us. And so it's all about Christ, the Bible, and then this message, this song that is being sung in heaven. Two things I want to try to cover with you tonight in brief fashion. We'll not have a long message tonight, but I pray it will be meaningful nonetheless. First of all, I want us to look briefly at three important truths about redemption, that concept of redemption. First of all, God has redeemed his people from something. There is redemption from something. And what is that something? God redeems us, the Bible tells us, from sin. And then the Bible says that he redeems us from the curse. And we're redeemed from Satan and his power to bind us and to lead us from God and keep us from doing the will of God. And then we're redeemed in another sense. We are delivered, we're redeemed from the world itself. And one day we'll be redeemed physically and taken out of this world. The word redeemed means to deliver or to set free. That's the idea. I want us to think about what it says in the book of Galatians along this line. There are many scriptures we could turn to, and you don't have to turn to it. I'll read it. We're not going to spend much time here, but I just want you to hear a sum of what the Bible says about redemption in light of what we're redeemed from. It says in Galatians 1:4 that Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. We go over here and read about the birth of Christ in chapter 4, and it mentions the same thing in connection with his birth. Chapter 4 of Galatians, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman." That's a reference to the virgin birth, of course. "Made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And so, redemption involves being delivered or set free from something, and all those things that I mentioned, and only Christ could do that. The second thought is that God has redeemed his people for something. We've been set free, we've been delivered, but why? So that our lives might bring glory and honor to the one who has redeemed us. He has set us free not to have the kind of freedom where we do our own thing. We were doing that already before we were redeemed. That's the problem. but redeemed, set free to do what God wants us to do, for our life to count in a way that He is glorified by. Redeemed so that we might worship Him like we're doing tonight, that we might serve Him, that we might glorify Him in every way. And then there's a third aspect to redemption, and that is that we've been redeemed not only from something and for something, but here's the main thing that I think we ought to see. We've been redeemed by someone. Redemption is a personal thing. Personal to you, personal to me, but it's accomplished by a person. It is an act of God that involved not only the Father, but the Son and the Holy Spirit. God redeems us by the work of Christ. To redeem means to pay the price to set us free. It's not only deliverance, but it's the payment of a price. The Bible uses the word ransom. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Christ said something really astounding when you think about it. Here's the King of Glory, and He says, "I've not come to be served or to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many." A ransom is a payment that brings about a deliverance. We understand ransom in terms of somebody being taken hostage. Well, we all have been taken hostage in the ways that I've mentioned. Hostage by sin, hostage by Satan himself. We are hostage in a sense of this wicked world, and it took Christ paying the ransom to redeem us. Redemption is personal and it is costly. A king's ransom was paid to redeem us. And that is the very life of the King. So three important truths about redemption. And when the saints up there or the saints down here sing of redemption, all of that is involved. Let's read verse 9 again, or listen to it at least, if you can't look at it in your Bible. And they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." And the scene there around the throne, and all are saying, we've been redeemed, and how is it? Only by the blood of redemption that was given to us as He poured out His life and His blood on Calvary. Let's move now from the important truths about redemption to three important reminders from this song. Three things I want to point your attention to. First of all, in this song, we should look back to the cross. Did you know in heaven, the focus of attention is on the cross? Now, you don't see the word cross here, but obviously it is the cross that this song has in mind because of what we just read. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. You were slain. And where did that take place? It took place on the cross of Calvary, didn't it? You were slain and have redeemed us to God by thy blood. And so without that payment on the cross of Calvary, there could have been no redemption whatsoever. Peter, the Apostle Peter, when he writes that first epistle, he writes of this payment, looking back to the cross in that letter. And these are such rich words. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now to most people, silver and gold are precious things. Precious metals, we call them. But something so much more valuable, so much more precious was paid. And so in heaven, they're constantly thinking back to the price paid, to the bloodshed, to the cross. And that's why we're going to have the Lord's Supper, because nothing could be more appropriate or more meaningful here on Christmas Eve than to remember why he came. He knew why he came. He came to have a human body that could be given up as a perfect sacrifice on the cross. And so we look back to the cross. There's a second reminder from Heaven's Song, and I think that one should be obvious. It is the fact that we should look ahead to heaven. This is going to be us. Do you know that? If you're saved. And can I remind you, it's going to be sooner than any of us can imagine. Even if we live another 20, 30, 40 years. And these children, they don't understand this, but you and I as older people know. They're young now, but they'll blink twice and they'll be in their 60s, 70s, 80s. And then we'll be there. Somehow we have this idea that heaven is way far off. But it's not far off at all. Even if we live a good amount of time between now and then, we have no guarantee. And so we'll be singing that song. One day we're going to join that heavenly chorus, and we'll be singing what they're now singing. We'll join in with that. And because we've been people of worship, and people have come to church, and we've sung these songs about redemption and being redeemed, it'll just be second nature, won't it, to lift up our praises and join them. And so for that reason, we need to keep our eyes and our focus on heaven. And this song reminds us of that. Like it says in Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And I know we enjoy opening presents and we enjoy buying presents and we enjoy all of that. But no matter how much you give or how much you receive, don't set your affection on that. The Bible says, don't set your affection on anything on this earth. Set your affection on things above. Because that's your real home, and that's your real treasure. Lay up treasure, as the Bible says, in heaven, and set your heart there. Set your focus there. And of course, if we're going to do that, we have to read about it. We have to think about it, and we have to remember it in our prayers. And just everything about our lives should be heaven-centered and heaven-focused, even though we live on earth. I was reading in a devotional book that I read daily, The Valley of Vision, and there's so many good truths in that book, but one of the truths that come out on a day, and I wish I had written it down, but it comes to mind, that we should have the perspective and the heart of angels, who, though they come to earth and they attend the things on behalf of God in a way that we can't see a lot of times and we don't know, but they're sent on earthly missions, aren't they? But their heart is always in heaven. And that how that should be the way we should live our lives. We're here on earth. There's a job to be done. There's a mission to be accomplished. But our heart, our focus, our affection should be on heaven. So this song reminds us to be heavenward in our thinking and heavenward in our devotion. So we look back to the cross. Yes. We look ahead to heaven, but there's a third thing and a final thing that I want to mention, and that is we need to look inside at ourselves and look at our own lives. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, and the Bible furthermore tells us to examine ourselves as we approach the elements of the Lord's Supper. Examine yourself and see if you're doing this in a worthy manner. I'm thankful it doesn't say to see that you're worthy, because if that were the case, none of us would be worthy. But to do it in a worthy manner, to examine your life. And I think the way we should examine our life is in the light of what we've seen here and read in this song. That we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And as a result of that, we've been made a part of God's family. It says here, he's made us kings and priests. And we'll reign with him. and we'll praise Him forevermore. And so it's a time to reflect. Do we know for sure that we belong to Him? Do we know for sure what it means to be redeemed? Have we pondered that? Does that really grip our hearts? Can I remind you of just a couple of verses along this line as we get ready to partake here in just a moment? Paul was addressing the church at Ephesus, the leaders there at least of the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. And as he's talking to those elders, he reminds them of something I want to remind us of tonight from the Word of God. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." That's what I'm asking us to do. Take heed to yourselves. Do some self-searching, some self-examination. "And to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers." And then he says this, "To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." If you're a child of God, you're a part of that church. And you've been blood bought. You're bought with a price. That's the other verse I want to share with you. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? "Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own?" Let that sink in. You're not your own. You're the temple of God. And then he goes on to say, "For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So this song reminds us that we're blood bought, and only because we're blood bought are we heaven bound. And I'll add a third thing. Not only are you blood bought and heaven bound if you're a child of God, but you're also heaven born. You're heaven born. You're born again. You're born from above. And part of what that means is that this connects with you. This is a part of the new nature, of the new birth, that when you read this or when you sing a song about being redeemed, that lights your fire. That connects. That resonates within your soul because you're seeing it from the scriptures or you're singing it and you realize that means me. I've been bought with a price. We sing a great hymn in our hymn book, "The Church is One Foundation," has these words among many other great words in that song, rich song. It says, "From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died." In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, we're reminded, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Can I remind you again of what verse 9 says? It says, "They sung a new song." What does that mean, a new song? It doesn't mean the latest hit, like new in time. That's not it. It's new in quality. That's what it means. Two different words in the Greek language, the original language of the Bible for new. One is new in time and one is new in quality. This is the word for quality. A new song, there's a new quality about this song. And like I say, it resonates in the hearts of those who have been made new, those who have experienced the new birth. It's a new song sung by those who are new creatures in Christ. And therefore, they're in heaven. They've been bought by blood. They've been made new. They've been made fit for heaven by the precious blood of Christ. So here's something to consider as we get ready here in just a moment to partake of the supper, the Lord's Supper. Does this resonate with you? This song that we read, the songs that we've just sung. For example, there's a line in Mark's song. "Did you know, Mary, that the child that you delivered will deliver you?" That's what we're talking about, redemption. Does that really resonate with us? If you're a child of God, it does. Because you're a new creature. And you'll be fit to sing a new song in a new place, in a new world, forever and forever. So Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Christ. That it is. But it's a whole lot more than just a baby in a manger, isn't it? It's realizing that that baby in that manger grew up to be a man, and not just any man. He was the God-man. And he lived that perfect life that none of us could live. And then he died for us on Calvary's cross and shed the blood that he had coursing through his veins in that human body for us. For the glory of God, yes, but for our eternal good. And so it is a celebration of a lot more than just a baby in a manger. It's a celebration of our Redeemer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the songs of Christmas that are based upon your word. Thank you for hymn writers and singers, musicians, and songs that we can sing here that remind us of the scripture, the truth contained in your word, that this babe, this Christ child, came to be our Redeemer and to deliver us from our sins, from the curse, from this wicked world, from the clutches of Satan himself. And that was only possible by the shedding of his blood, the giving of himself on our behalf. We pray now that our hearts would be humbled and ready. May we confess any sin that we need to before you as we approach this time of partaking of these elements. And Father, help us to be clean because you have cleansed us as we've called upon you to forgive us. And as we have come to you as broken people tonight, in need of cleansing, in need of the continual washing of the power of the blood of Christ, which we know you are willing to do. Because you've told us if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's only the blood of Christ that has the power, the ability to do that. So right now, in our hearts, apply the value, the merit of Christ and his sacrifice to our hearts afresh and cleanse us from all sin and help us to want to live for you in the most dedicated way, remembering the price of our redemption. We pray in Christ's name, amen.